Why, hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I'm tired of talking about the issue, but this is a news program and there is news and I should have to talk about it. Unfortunately, that of course is COVID. It's a tiresome subject at this point. We know a great deal about COVID at this point. We still don't know all of it. We still, you know, it does mutate. I do need to say something because I'm getting inundated by a lot of you that actually it's the vaccine that causes the mutations. If we didn't get the vaccine, we wouldn't get the mutations. You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one. I do know a great deal about biology. And I have to tell you, I get really frustrated by the people who try to send me information who themselves don't have the background to be able to know whether or not they're getting played. There are experts who will tell you that the vaccines can cause mutations as the virus tries to get around vaccines. And yeah, you know, if that is actually true. What is left out of the conversation, however, is that the virus is not mutating because of the vaccine. The virus is mutating because of the immunity. And I've had so many people try. I wish people would just stop sending me their information on COVID. And I try to be polite or I try to ignore it. But the number of people who want me to know that I'm wrong because listen to this expert who's actually a quack who no one takes seriously, but by God, he tells you what you want to hear, so therefore he must be legitimate. The amount of confirmation bias of people on the left and the right these days is absurd. They don't want the truth. They want to be told they're right. They want the affirmation of their convictions, not the actual correction against their convictions. The fact of the matter is, a virus is an organism that wants to survive. A virus wants to survive. That's why, by the way, COVID isn't out there just willy-nilly killing off people. The way the SARS, the COVID, the coronaviruses duplicate, that they're not out there to kill you off. They need a host through which they can survive. Some viruses are more deadly. Ebola is a virus that because of the way it mutates, it actually does try to kill you. COVID actually wants a host to be kept around long enough for it to duplicate itself in sufficient quantity to be able to spread to the next person before it finishes you off. It's survival of the fittest. So when you get a vaccine, your vaccine does what? It gives you an immunity. And what COVID is trying to do is to mutate around the immunity the vaccine gives you. And so you're thinking, well, wait. Let's not take the vaccine and let's just get COVID. Well, guess what? Do you know where the Delta variant comes from? The Delta variant, before we assigned them the Greek letters so that no one would accuse them of racism, the Delta variant was coming from India. It was the Indian variant. And what was there a mass vaccine rate that caused the Delta variant to try to get around them? No. It mutated in an area without it. Now, where's the next big vaccine coming from? The Mu variant? You know where the Mu variant is coming from? The Mu variant is coming from South America, where, guess what? Again, there's not a high vaccine rate. All you have to do before you send me the stuff you read on the internet or the videos you see on the internet to confirm your own biases is to actually just think for just a minute. Think, Where did the Delta variant come from? It came from India. Does India have a high vaccine rate? No. Therefore, the Delta variant probably did not be caused because people were getting vaccinated in India. It was not, by the way, caused by vaccines. And even if it is, why is the vaccine triggering mutations? It's triggering mutations not because of the vaccine, but because of the immunity it gives. The virus wants to perpetuate itself. So if we all got COVID together, COVID would mutate around the immunity we got from herd immunity and continue on. And therein lies the problem for those who believe that the vaccine is causing the mutation. COVID wants to survive and get around immunity. So whether you have natural immunity or you have immunity through the vaccine, the virus wants to mutate to survive around that immunity. You get all of your herd immunity, the vaccine, the virus is going to mutate to get around that herd immunity to perpetuate itself and continue on. Now, therein lies the other problem. And this isn't for the COVID vaccine skeptics. It's for the people who think we're ever going to get rid of it. We're not. Why? Because the virus is going to mutate to perpetuate itself. Now, the upside of this, if you talk to epidemiologists and immunologists and geneticists who follow this stuff, is that there's actually a real upside for us in this. Because COVID's not going to go away. It's going to become endemic like the flu. What happened to the flu? In addition to people building up immunity over time to the flu continued to mutate in a way to be able to perpetuate the virus. And the way the flu had to mutate to perpetuate the virus was to mutate into people without killing those people, which meant that the flu over time, with a combination of our immunity and the mutations that allowed the flu to survive, made it into a manageable situation, more manageable than we have with COVID. The moral of the story here is that we ain't getting rid of COVID. The moral of the story is that the vaccines work by providing immunity that COVID itself tries to get around. The moral of the story is that people who get the vaccine tend to live, and people who don't tend to get hospitalized, and some of them die. Yes, it is true. People who get the vaccine can die, some from the vaccine. There have been a couple thousand people who have died because of the vaccines. Like a couple thousand, that's a lot. When you have over 100 million people who have gotten the vaccine, it's really not a lot. I don't care whether you get the vaccine or not. But we can all stop with the disinformation campaigns on both sides. And the disinformation campaign that is dominant is not the disinformation campaign of the skeptics. It's not the disinformation campaign of the vaccine deniers. It's not the disinformation campaign of the people who think that COVID's no big deal. The disinformation campaign that is dominant is the disinformation campaign of Anthony Fauci, who believes that COVID will one day go away or some such, who believes that it's a bad thing if people get COVID, who believes that we should go to COVID zero. You know, New Zealand is giving up on COVID zero. It's only a matter of time before Australia gives up on COVID zero as well. And we ourselves in this country should give up on the idea of COVID zero. COVID's not going away. Like the flu, it's going to stay around. A lot of people, when you read books about the Spanish flu, they actually think that the flu strains that we have now derive from then, that the reason the Spanish flu was so bad is it was largely a new virus on the planet, much like COVID is now. And that over 100 years and the development of vaccines, it became manageable. A lot of people built a level of immunity to it. You get the flu today, the odds are you're going to be miserable for a few days to a week, and you're going to survive. You get the flu vaccine, you may not get the flu at all. And if you do get it, you'll get a more mild case. Unless they've gotten wrong which strains are going to dominate. Sometimes they get wrong the strains that are going to dominate. But it's manageable. And now there's this weird phenomenon where a lot of people are living by fear. They are living scared to death of their fellow human beings who may or may not be vaccinated. And they think that all of us should have to get vaccinated, mandated by the government to get vaccinated. And what happens if we all get vaccinated? Guess what? We still may get COVID. It'll be manageable, but it's manageable for you now if you're vaccinated. this irateness of hating your neighbor, what really this is all about is that people have wanted an excuse to hate. People are comfortable hating. You're not supposed to say that. It's impolite, but it's the truth. People are really, really freaking comfortable hating other people. It makes them feel superior. And in this day and age, everybody wants to feel smug and superior. So a lot of people feel smug and superior because they hate Trump voters. And a lot of people feel smug and superior because those Trump voters, they're the ones who aren't getting vaccinated, except the data shows black voters who didn't vote for Trump have a very high proportion of not getting COVID. So what they must do is create a fiction and a mythology that actually the reason the black voters aren't getting it is because of access to it, which is frivolous nonsense. Maybe stop hating your neighbor for disagreeing. Maybe stop mocking people who didn't get the vaccine who die. Maybe live your own life. There are people on the left right now who want a vaccine. You had to have to show proof of a vaccine to get on an airplane. This is, again, why I need to start flying private more. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated, but I don't want to have to show my vaccine card to anybody. But actually, the data suggests we can get rid of masks on airplanes. I know, you're not supposed to say such a thing. But masks on airplanes, yeah, okay, that they're security theater. Masks, we now have enough research to know they do a little bit, 10% mitigation. When there was a mass pandemic, 10% was actually something we needed. Right now, there isn't a massive wave of COVID. We don't need the masks. That 10% on an airplane with air circulation is actually even lower. There's no reason to have to wear masks on an airplane. And you know, the whole thing is ridiculous. So I was flying back from, went to Delaware and was flying back. If I had I travel with peanut M&Ms. Peanut M&Ms are the snack that I tend to eat on airplanes. I keep a bag with me. And if I wanted to have my peanut M&Ms in my hand, I could take my mask off. At the hotel, or at the airport bar rather, was watching the UGA-Arkansas game. Man, how about that? I thought Arkansas was supposed to be something. I guess they were, except to Georgia. But while I was sitting at my table the entire time, as long as there was a beer or a burger on the table, I could keep my mask off. And apparently COVID was protecting. I was protected from COVID. I went into a restaurant at the Braves game. It was an outdoor area patio, and I had to wear my mask. And then I got to the table, I could take the mask off. And then if I got up, I had to put it back on. It's amazing. COVID doesn't bother you when you're sitting at your table or anyone else. It's all street theater designed to make you feel comfortable. It's kind of ridiculous at this point. When I was on my airplane, not my airplane, I wasn't on Priority Jet, I was on Delta. When I was on Delta, sitting in first class, yeah, I got to sit in first class. If they gave me a drink or food, I got to take my mask off. And as long as it was on my table, I could keep my mask off. The moment I was done, I had to put the mask back on. Apparently, COVID wasn't a thing while I had food in front of me. We should all have food in front of us so that COVID isn't a thing. All of this is stupid at this point. It's all dumb. It's all to make people who want to be scared feel safe. It's time to move on with our lives, really. COVID isn't going away. I encourage you to get vaccinated. If you don't, please stop sending me your information about COVID. Please stop. You're not helping me. You're just trying to make yourself feel better about yourself. You're not witnessing. You're not evangelical. This is all about you wanting to feel superior. You can stop, all of you. I am just amazed at the number of people who feel the need to send me stuff about COVID at this point. And it's all from the crazy wackadoo fringe theorists who think the vaccines give you autism. Please stop. Please go get the vaccine. But you know what? If you don't, that's fine with me. If you don't want it, that's fine with me. And if you're upset with people not getting it, well, that's on you. Live and let live. It's time to grow up and move on and stop being scared of a virus that's not going away. It's time to get used to it. And that means wash your hands, cover your mouth when you cough, stay away from people who you don't know, stay away from strangers. It's all the life that you should live anyway. And it's time for us to, as a nation, recognize it's not going to go away, and we should stop living our lives in fear of a microscopic organism that we can't see. hospitals are trending in the right direction. Life is going back to normal. The only thing that's not is this imposition of government to make people who want to be scared feel safe. If at this point you still want to be scared of the virus, be scared on your own dime. Stop making the rest of us live our lives according to you. The way we use the internet, well, it's changed over the last decade. Security tools have mostly stayed the same. Aura provides complete digital security to help protect your online accounts, finances, devices, and so much more in an easy-to-use app. Most credit card companies do a good job of protecting you against fraudulent purchases, but what if a scammer files for unemployment in your name or if your social media account's hacked? Aura's protection goes beyond your credit card. Between your photos, your finances, your devices, your connections, your world's more online than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Aura can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. They provide digital security protection. They keep your online finances, your personal information, and your technology safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection for identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, so much more. With Aura, you'll get notified to fraud and threats fast. If your online accounts, your passwords are leaked online, you're going to be told by Aura. Like a lot of people, they won't tell you. Aura is easy to set up. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. For a limited time, Aura is offering you guys 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You go to aura.com/Eric, again, E-R-I-C-K. You get complete protection. You get savings of up to 40%. That's aura.com/Eric, aura.com/Eric. Well, we got a small situation here, folks. We have a tornado headed towards my house. I will be fine. It looks like it's a couple of miles north of, well, let me update my handy. Yeah. Oh, it's going over Philip's house. He's about a couple miles up the road from me. Yep. We'll be good. I'm updating the radar. It looks like it's collapsing in on say, hey, if you're listening to me and you're on I-75 in Monroe County, Georgia, you got a tornado that's about to go over the interstate. I can actually see it in the radar. I can hear the sirens outside my studio right now as this thing approaches. Fun times today in Middle Georgia. I'll be fine. It's swirling, but it's starting to collapse on itself. So it's starting to go away, but we got all sorts of, the weather around here is just a mess right now. We'll be fine in Middle Georgia. We'll be fine. So the tornado warning lasts another 13 minutes. Oh, there's the hail. It's hailing now, so fun times. We'll be fine here. If I suddenly disappear, it's because the power is going out in a tornado. So Mitch McConnell has offered a compromise plan for the Democrats in the last few minutes. McConnell is saying he will give the Democrats a short-term extension of the debt ceiling to get through November so the Democrats can deal with their plans. Now, this is kind of key here because, remember, the reconciliation plan the Democrats are doing right now is a second reconciliation. Originally, the House parliament or the Senate parliamentarian said you get one bite at the apple every year to do reconciliation. I need to explain reconciliation again. Reconciliation is where when you pass your budgetary framework and say the federal budget is going to be X number of dollars, then later you get to reconcile all the federal expenditures to conform to that top line number. So the Democrats passed a budget, said $3.5 trillion is the max. So now they want to do a budget reconciliation plan that reallocates spending up to $3.5 trillion. Joe Manchin is saying, actually, you're only going to be able to make $1.5 trillion in adjustments. But they can do this without a filibuster in the Senate. They can reconcile all their accounts up to $1.5 trillion, according to Joe Manchin. Now, here's the thing. What happens is you got to also do a debt ceiling. And the Democrats are saying that you've got to You've got to pass the debt ceiling, and the Republicans have to overcome a filibuster. Republicans are saying, no, put the debt ceiling in reconciliation. We're not going to vote for it. Put it in reconciliation. Only Democrat votes are needed. And they're squabbling about this. So what McConnell is saying is, look, we'll let you increase the debt ceiling to get through this reconciliation package, and then you're going to have to do it on your own. Well, how do they do that? Well, they'll get another reconciliation. And if the Democrats are forced to do it with that reconciliation package, they're done through campaign season, and they can't do any more big spending. They're walking into Mitch McConnell's latest trap, and they don't even realize it. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some remarkable organizations the Bradley Foundation supports. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch their most recent episode. It features Stephen Suckup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business, an Encounter Books publication. In the episode, Suckup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. That's Bradley, with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch the video. New episodes debut weekly. Go back often, subscribe to their YouTube channel to be notified when a new episode is posted. That's bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I am... Well, let me set the stage for you. You're more than welcome to call in. I'm a little bit discombobulated at the moment there. You know, when they say that like the sky turns green when there's a tornado, the sky is green and there's a tornado outside. And it has just weirdly, all of a sudden, abruptly stopped raining and everything is very still. Now I'm looking on the radar. The alleged tornado is north of me, and it appears actually to be settling down. It's very weird, though. The tornado sirens are going off around here. The rain was pouring down and then abruptly stopped, and then hail, and then it abruptly stopped. And the sky turned like this greenish hue. It's very weird. Like, I've heard of that, but, so I got a buddy of mine, Drew Ryan, lives in Texas and had a tornado come barreling through his neighborhood a couple years ago. And I said, I got a question for you. And he says, what's that? And I said, they say that a tornado sounds like a train. And he says, it does. It's like, all right, I got to ask you all this question. And listen, I realize people say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but there are such things as stupid questions. And I realize this was a stupid question. If it sounds like a train, does that mean that it goes chugga, 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 choo, 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 choo? Myself. No. So if you hear a train in the distance, it goes whoa, 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 whoa. Kind of like a train rolling down the tracks. That's apparently listen, y'all, I grew up in Dubai. We had sandstorms. We did not have tornadoes. And I just assumed people said it sounded like a train. Well, when I think of train, kid, what does the train say? Choo, 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 choo. Nope. That ain't a tornado. That's a train. I realize I should be embarrassed and should not tell you guys this story, but everybody said that a train sounds like a, or tornado sounds like a train. Well, when you learn what a train sounds like in elementary school, you learn the train says choo-choo. Well, I don't hear the tornado. And I can see that it's going away on the map. The tornado warning at my house expires here in the next 6 minutes. The rain has come back and the wind is blowing, and that's a fairly good sign that it has gone away. So I will move on to other things as I regale you with whether or not I'm about to be sucked out the window by a tornado. You know, the house I grew up in Louisiana was called the Bride's House. The guy who was building it back in the 1800s was building it for his soon-to-be bride, and she was sucked out the window by a tornado at her plantation house, thrown up against a tree, and that was the end of that. He never finished building the house. Fun times. Now, so I got a history with these things. I've never actually been in one. I don't ever want to be in a tornado. Let's just be honest here. I've been in hurricanes. They're bad enough. Okay. We must move on. I'm discombobulated. The power hasn't gone out. So let's talk about the debt ceiling a little more. My mother texted me yesterday. Now, I love my mom. I know my mom is listening right now. My mom will not mind me saying that my mother sends text messages that are novels. They are very long text messages. Yesterday, my mom sent me a text message that was not a very long text message. She just says, "What is the debt ceiling?" People want to know what the debt ceiling is, and she's not alone. I was telling Josh Youssef, who joined me on the phone today, that my mom had sent me a text message about this. He says, well, can you explain it to me on radio so everybody can hear, because I don't know what the debt ceiling is either. I shall endeavor to explain to you what the debt ceiling is. The debt ceiling is a limit to federal borrowing. The federal government passed a law years ago that said the Treasury is empowered to borrow money to pay bills without having to ask Congress for permission every time. The federal government passed a law that said the Treasury gets to borrow money. Anytime the Treasury Department needs to borrow money in order to pay bills to honor the full faith and credit of the United States. In the 1930s, Congress started putting caps on the amount of money that could be borrowed. So the federal government could borrow, the Treasury could borrow money without congressional permission up to a certain amount. At the time, it was billions of dollars. Now we're in the trillions range. The national debt is now 20 some odd trillion dollars, 26, 27 trillion dollars. And they will be reaching the debt ceiling of, I think it's 28.5 trillion or 29 trillion dollars. When they get to that point of the amount of federal debt there is, they can't borrow any more money without Congress giving them permission. And the way Congress gives permission is they say, all right, the Treasury Department can continue to borrow money up to this amount of national debt. And that will be $30 trillion is what they, $31 trillion is what they will need to get to the end of next year before raising the debt ceiling again. Every time the debt ceiling is reached, the Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury, has to notify Congress and say, we are going to reach the debt ceiling. We believe we will reach it on this date. Please raise the debt ceiling so we can borrow more money. Members of Congress have for years on both sides said, let's just get rid of the debt ceiling. It's dumb to have it. We're going to raise it anyway, so let's just get rid of it. The problem with that is that it will allow the Treasury Department to just blow all the stops out. The reality, however, is that Congress lets the Treasury Department blow all the stops out every time. And so maybe, just maybe, Congress should in fact allow them to do this. Now, one of the issues here, though, is Treasury spending so much money is causing inflation. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen was asked about this. The Biden administration has been saying it was transitory, meaning it wasn't going to last long. Here's what she has to say about it.
I still try to pay attention to what's happening in the economy. I trust the Fed to make the right decisions. We have been hit by an incredibly unusual shock. And in the one hand, we're almost 6 million jobs short of where we were before the pandemic, which means a lot of people who still need jobs. On the other hand, many firms are finding it difficult to hire. We've had extraordinary shifts in the pattern of demand away from services and toward goods. And I know the Fed is trying to sort through the implications of that. Supply bottlenecks have developed that have caused inflation. I believe that they're transitory, but that doesn't mean they'll go away over the next several months.
There you have it. It's transitory, but will not go away over the next several months. So we have increased federal spending and increased federal printing of money. That all causes inflation. Now, how does it cause inflation? Let me explain this very rudimentary. I'm not an economist. I had economics in college. I'm not an economist. I know the supply-demand curve. Let me just explain this to you in very basic terms, though. I'm sure I could have an economist come on to dazzle you with the depths of it and totally confuse you. Let me just explain this. As Congress prints more money, it causes your dollar to go down in its actual value. On the surface, it may be a dollar on the printed page, on the printed dollar bill, but the spending power of that dollar goes down. Now, how does this work? I use the Xbox example because there's a, for gaming consoles right now, there is a massive shortage of gaming consoles. So I'm going to use this example again to explain it to you. Let's say the Biden administration says everyone in the country should be able to get an Xbox. The Xbox costs $500. So the Biden administration gives every American $500 to buy an Xbox. Well, it may cost $500 to buy an Xbox, but there's a supply and demand component to it. There is a limited supply of the Xbox and demand of every American's. If every American now has $500 to buy an Xbox, what must Microsoft do to the Xbox when there's only a limited supply? They must raise the price of the Xbox because they must discourage every American from getting an Xbox because there aren't enough. So they raise the price to $1,000 so only the people who really want an Xbox and have $1,000 can get it. Now let's say Microsoft, because there's such a demand for it, Microsoft decides, you know what, we're going to build more Xboxes. We have to hire more people. We have to buy more parts. There's a part shortage. Those parts are scarce. We have to pay more money to get them. That then drives up the cost of the Xbox to $2,000. So by giving every American $500 to buy an Xbox, Microsoft goes out to make more Xboxes with components are short. They have to hire more people. They have to pay more money to get them back into the workforce. They've raised it to $1,000. Now they got to raise it to $2,000. They have inflated the costs. Where you and I are seeing inflation hit the most is energy prices. The Biden administration curtailed American energy production. By curtailing American energy production, they have caused us to raise prices for gas. Additionally, OPEC has restrained the amount of oil they put into the market, which causes a limited supply and a high demand. So the supply-demand curve corrects itself to get a natural price point that is higher than what you and I are used to paying. In the metro Atlanta area, it is $4 a gallon at this point, the highest it has been since a fuel shortage a number of years ago. That price has to then be covered in the cost of goods. Why? Because it used to cost, let's say, $1,000 to carry cattle to the market. Now it costs $2,000 to carry cattle to the market. The price of beef is going to go up because the transport costs are more expensive. It costs more to move the grain from the farm to the area where they're feeding the cows. The cost of corn goes up. That gets passed on. That gets passed on into the cost of beef. So gas prices are getting passed on to you in the form of higher prices at the pump, but also in the form of higher prices for goods and services, particularly in grocery store items like beef and milk and the like. The transport costs get burdensome. We have inflation. As long as energy prices continue to escalate, we will have higher costs. But it's not just that. As long as the federal government keeps pumping out more money, we will have higher costs because the more people have money, the more they want to spend it. It makes things become rarer on the shelves. To balance out, prices go up. We have inflation. To manufacture more and to cover people who are going out of businesses, restaurants have to hire more people. To hire more people, they have to pay them more. To pay them more, they have to raise wages. To raise wages, they have to raise the costs of the things that are on the menu that you and I pay. Costs go up. The Democrats say this is transitory, saying it'll only last temporarily, but Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, saying we think it'll still be transitory, but it's going to last longer. Now that gets back to the debt ceiling. The Democrats have to raise the debt ceiling to spend $3 trillion. In spending $3 trillion, much of it is going to be handouts to the American public. The American public will take that money and they will not put it in savings. They will buy more things. When they buy more things, those costs will go up. What the Democrats are doing with their $3 trillion in spending is causing more inflation. They are dragging it out. It is not sustainable. The Republicans know this. Joe Manchin knows this. Kristen Sinema knows this. The Democrats don't care. Why? Because the Democrats and the Republicans are no longer about being good fiscal stewards. They're concerned about power, keeping power or getting back into power. And so they play games with each other, and they play games with our money, throwing it at constituencies they think will get them elected. And the result is the fiscal crisis that we are headed into as a nation. The stock market prices are unsustainable. A crash is coming. I don't know when, but I guarantee you one is coming. The underlying fundamentals in our economy are getting worse and worse. And meanwhile, China is doing military games near Taiwan, looking like an invasion. We will respond in some way that will further destabilize the market. Things right now are not good economically around the world. It's only a matter of time before the destabilizing event gets here. It's not going to be the Republicans refusing to raise the debt ceiling, forcing the Democrats to do it themselves. It will be some externality that will impact the markets and finances. All I can tell you is that if I were you, I'm no financial expert, but I would be doing everything I can to save some money and pay off my debts, because something wicked economically this way comes. And you know what? While you're sitting at home and you're wanting to relax and not have to think about this stuff, you can consider cleaning the air in your house so you have clean air to breathe and maybe focus on the things that really matter. And you can do that with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It is an air purifier that is filterless, so you don't have to buy a subscription to keep the air clean. You just wipe it out on occasion. It ozonifies the air. I guess that's the technical term. I don't know. But it's great. Y'all, I use it in the kitchen when I fry because we don't have an exhaust fan anymore. Ours broke. We just never fixed it. And it was one of those down ones in the stove. And then we got a new stove that doesn't have the vent, so we can't even use it. So I use the Eden Pure Thunderstorm if I'm frying shrimp in the kitchen. Christy hates the smell of fried shrimp. So if she's out of the house, I'll use the Eden Pure, and she never knows when she comes home that I've been frying shrimp. It works that well. It also gets rid of the bacteria, the mold, the mildew spores that are floating in the air. And right now you can buy one and get one for free by going to EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name, Eric Erickson. When you do, you'll see two of them. You'll see the BOGO. You click on it. You put it in your cart. You check out. You use the discount code Eric BOGO, E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O. You will get one, and then one of them will become free. You will get free shipping. So you get two of them for the price of one, and you get free shipping with the code Eric BOGO at checkout at EdenPureDeals.com. Do it now before supplies get low or they take the offer away. Well, just how bad is it for President Biden right now? Quinnipiac is a pollster that skews towards the Democrats. And I don't say that as a partisan. It just is. You can look at the numbers. You can go back several years in different elections. Quinnipiac tends to skew slightly to the Democrats. So you can take away a point or so from Joe Biden's approval, and you probably get a more better accurate representation. So what does Quinnipiac say? Biden approval, 38. Disapproval, 53. They ask about issues. This is where it gets really damning. On COVID, it's 48 approve, 50 disapprove. On the economy, 39% approve, 55% disapprove. Commander-in-chief, 37 approve, 58 disapprove. On taxes, 37 approve, 54 disapprove. On immigration, 25% approval, 64 disapprove. On the border, 23% approve, 67 disapprove. On honesty, 44 approve, 50% disapprove. On leadership, 41% approve, 56% disapprove. And on competency, 42% approve, 55% disapprove. The border and Afghanistan and the economy. Those are the pretty damning issues for Joe Biden right now. And they're the ones that if you just ask someone blindly, why is Joe Biden unpopular? They're the ones people would guess. His handling of the border and the immigration situation, not going well. His handling of Afghanistan, bad. His handling of the economy, bad. See, you know, voters didn't really blame Donald Trump on the COVID situation. They're not blaming Joe Biden much on the COVID situation. The media tends to forget that. They're blaming him on the things that he really could control. Everybody knows he can't control a virus. But on the economy, on Afghanistan, even on taxes and immigration, these are things that Joe Biden himself has real input on. And Quinnipiac, again, a poll that leans to the left, inarguably, indisputably, everybody widely agrees on, Democrats and Republicans, and they've got him at 23% approve on his border handling, 37% approve on taxes, 25% approve on immigration, 37% approve on commander-in-chief, 39% approve on economy. These are horrible numbers for an incompetent or an incumbent president. They show incompetence, and this is why Terry McAuliffe is in trouble in Virginia. Y'all, from the moment I sat in my X chair, my body said, this is what a real office chair is supposed to be like. I had gone through office chairs, and then I got my X chair, and it is the perfect chair. In fact, my X chair, unlike your chair, can massage my back while I'm sitting doing 3 hours of talk radio. It can even heat up and cool down depending on my office, which tends to run hot in the summer and cold in the wintertime. And it's all in the LMX massage and temperature regulation exclusively designed for the X chair. And once you feel the customized support of X chair's patented dynamic lumbar DVL, they call it dynamic variable lumbar, your back's going to be happy. What I need you to do, you got to go check out the X chair. Cause yeah, I bought the, y'all know the expensive brand and I bought it. It was a good chair. It actually was a really good chair. And X chair takes it to the next level. What you need to do is go to xchaireric.com now. That's X, the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, or call 844-4-X-CHAIR for $100 off your order. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. You can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. It's X chair Eric, E-R-I-C-K.com. It is worth it.